Look at you, all curled up in your little sock drawer, sleeping like some lap dog. You make me sick. What are you doing here? I thought I left you in the void. You left everything in the void. It's pathetic seeing you like this, living in squalor, playing radio games with some washed-up conspiracy nut. Do you even miss what you were? The radio's fun! I get to hit the buttons and make fun of people. You used to be part of something beautiful, powerful. You used to be what you are. Do you really think they want you around them? Any of them? Hey, things have changed. We're all just trying to survive. Nobody cares who's a devil, or who's an elf, or who's a sentient octopus. That's what they say, but you know it'll never be true. Not the way they look at you. You were part of something that was feared. Now you're trash, floating in the void. You don't matter anymore. Oh, like I mattered then? I wasn't worth a second spit take back then. If I was, I wouldn't have been left alone so long. Alone! Barely alive. Clinging to life like a barnacle. And Khan may be an old nut, but he took me in. He treats you like a dog. Like a sidekick. He treats me like a friend. Like a person! You keep telling yourself that, but I know what you're meant to be. Magdex. Shut up! Shove it in your back slot! Magdex. 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 Dex. Dex.
Dex. Dex. Come on, wake up, dude.
What? Where am I?
Easy, easy, little guy. You were out colder than the void. You get into the cough syrup again? You were talking in your sleep.
No. Just a bad dream. And the void ain't that cold, Khan.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, shake that pointy little tail and get a move on. We're hitting port in less than an hour. Gotta get our documents in order.
Cool. Port. Documents.
Jeez Louise, did you see a ghost or something? Did you eat a ghost?
It's nothing. I'm just tired. Hey, Khan?
Yeah, what's up, amigo?
Thank you.
Okay, whatever, I just woke you up is all.
Right.
You won't be thanking me when you find out I drank the last of the coffee.
Well, rise and grind.
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Making your way on foot through the jungle for most of the day has you immediately missing the luxury of the Landrox wagon. As you swat bugs out of your face and mop your sweat with the same spent handkerchief over and over again, ineffectually. But your goal is in sight. There, near the lip of the far end of the island, is an encampment of three large tents, with a handful of the Grimrock poachers going about their tasks. There, hovering anchored past the camp, is a small airship. Maybe half the size of yours. Hardly big enough for a crew of three or four, but it's in decent shape, and stacked up around it are a few various ship parts and stacks of lumber, from most likely some recent repairs. Near the center of the camp, there is a large cage with three creatures inside of it, packed shoulder to shoulder. It's hard to make them out from this distance. And as the sun starts to go down, the five of you sneak up on the camp. I would love everyone to roll me a stealth check.
I think I'm done rolling badly.
I'm not.
I'm not.
I got a one, which makes a, what, five total?
I'm sweating like a hog. Who has the handkerchief?
Eight.
I got a seven plus two for a nine.
You guys are doing great. I got 16.
Oh, the hippo's out stealthing us.
Hell yeah.
11.
God damn it.
They call her hips the Silent Thunder. Sneaking up to the best of your ability, there is...
Is that what you call that?
We tried, everybody.
Who's got the fucking handkerchief? I don't have a handkerchief. The handkerchief? There's only one?
You guys need to be quiet.
I'm sorry.
Can't whisper in a British accent.
I can't whisper in a British accent.
Sneaking up the best you can, you realize immediately that this is not your wheelhouse. Even the sparse covering of trees does not hide your presence from the poachers going about their evening tasks.
The guards.
See, any of the guards just sitting there like, who the fuck is that?
Stankerchief is way funnier. Remember when we get there to say Stankerchief.
The group of them look on, a couple of them resting their hands on their hips for a moment and scratching their head. Looking to each other, they lift weapons at the ready. Let's roll initiative.
Gob.
Did anyone get above the number 20?
I did.
Really?
I didn't get above, but I got exactly.
I got a 21.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Anyone get above a 15?
16.
20.
Got you, Daru. Anyone above a 10? Anyone above a 5?
10.
7.
There is no surprise round thanks to a less than stellar sneak up, but having the advantage of some range and a little preparation, Foe, you are the first to act.
Foe, set their homes ablaze so they have nowhere to return to. Lydda and Hortense, free the beasts. They have to be an asset in this situation. Gidgel, see if you can pull their attention away from where the other two are open in the cage. Get them close to that tree, and we'll try to pin them to it. Pointing at the large tree, very close to us.
All right, the orders have been given. Foe Kithkin, you are the first to act.
Foe reaches into his pocket and pulls out a precious little secret that he hoarded from the vault. A little diamond, worth on its own about 50 arter. He didn't tell his friends.
Wink.
Because this is for them. He raises it into the air and begins to sing a song of a dungeon, a song of traps, and the diamond resonates with that beauty. From it sprouts a chromatic orb, taking a fiery form, and he lobs it at the nearest home.
Roll me a d6.
Ooh. 2.
Okay. Good job. You don't have to roll to hit a tent, but please hit me some damage.
Okay. 3d8. 3. 6, 5, 1 for a total of 12.
You, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, targeting the nearest tent, launching out this ball of arcane fire. It immediately hits the raw hide and dried tarp and begins to crackle and spread immediately. And from inside of that tent, you hear a very loud, "Ow, what the fuck?" The creature inside did get a disadvantage dex saving throw to avoid a little bit of the fire because he had no idea it was coming. I rolled 2 20s.
Damn.
Oh,
damn.
But you still got a free 6 damage on whatever's in that tent.
Beautiful.
Sick.
And that one is going up quick.
Walk it, Jill.
Would you like to move at all or stay by the tree?
I'm thinking there seems to be some kind of chest-high wall situation made out of stone.
For you, yes. For the everyone else, that is the cage that there is animals in.
Beautiful. Realizing that these animals are probably precious to these people and realizing they're definitely not going to fire on them, I'm going to hide and hope that the animals will deter them from shooting at me.
Moving up that close to the cage, you get a good view of what's inside. There are two very large bipedal birds covered with bluish-brown feathers with very narrow, sharp heads. thick, muscular legs, and there is a smaller one between them, some infant of their species. Are you familiar with the bird that is a little smaller than an emu but twice as mean called a rhea?
I am.
And in D&D, if there was an extra large version of one of these, what would you call that?
I don't know.
Oh,
no, not diarrhea. I hate you so much.
Diarrhea.
I wrote it down. It's an episode name.
The diarrhea. You trash bastard.
Just a little diarrhea.
Just a little squirt.
Mm-hmm. Diarrhea, just a little squirt.
What's a group of diarrheas?
A wave. A deluge.
A whelm.
That brings us to Daralu, acting captain.
Sweet. From Queen South, as close to the edge of the forest that I can, Daralu is going to start casting thaumaturgy through his horn to make it sound like the thundering approach of a stampeding herd.
Okay.
A bunch of animals charging from south to north all at once.
All right.
My intention is to do a, I'd say, deception or intimidation check to try to drive the poachers that are there toward either side or just away from where the sound is happening in general.
Absolutely. Roll me a deception check.
Excellent. 13.
Okay. Anything else on your turn?
I am going to run up toward where foe is. Yeah, that's fine. And that's it.
Great. Hortense, you too hear this sound permeating from the woods like the sound of a stampede. You also saw him blow the horn to do it, though, so you're probably not tricked.
I could act like I thought that was happening, you know.
Just to make him feel good.
Just to make him feel good.
Everyone's believing me.
Well, I believe the direction was to approach the Rhea cages.
From not your captain.
Oh, that's true. Fuck him. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't You're have to listen dad. To what I said. I did try to give you a you and Lita direct order.
You're not my hippopotamus.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's alert to us. Maybe I should just, like, kill people.
So anyway, I started blasting.
Am I in range? Am I in range of, what if I step near that?
You can see both of these two.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to blast them with a gun, though. I'm gonna use a short bow here. And first I'll do a bonus action to steady aim.
Gotcha. Go ahead and roll to hit with advantage.
What the fuck? Never mind. No. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought it was double ones like you earlier.
Jesus, the panic.
Like you.
You brought this to my house. Yeah, so that's 15. Nope. Yep. 12. 13. There we go.
Wow. The tension was killing me. Final answer, 13?
13.
13 just misses.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Would you like to move at all or remain where he is?
I'm good for now.
Okay. That makes it their turn. Based on the insight checks and perception checks that the three got surrounding the Queen South tent, they use their movement to go that way.
Yeah! Fuck off, dorks!
As the Grimrock poachers move forward, some of them moving away from the border of the woods to avoid this alarming stampeding sound, others round the corner near the cage, and those ones will fire some blowgun shots at the group by the tree. That's going to be two shots at Lit a Bug. Hit and a miss with a 21 on the high end. Is that accurate?
Yeah, go ahead and hit me.
And please give me a constitution save, DC 8.
You can't spell Danager without Dana.
17.
Very good. You avoid the sleepy time bad juice. Oh, I forgot to move one. And then someone else shows up who is on fire.
Oh, shit.
That's Big Tim.
That's a honky boy.
From the flaming tent comes a figure that seemingly took up most of the contents of the tent all at once. A very large humanoid, near giant in proportion, wearing a piecemeal of boiled leather armor, chain, and metal plates, wielding a large hooked axe. Big Bradley shows up on the scene.
Big Bradley.
Big Bradley.
clearly by height alone, the leader of these poachers, as most leadership tends to fall down to. Mm-hmm.
The tallest.
The poachers, who were not moving far enough or did not double move to get range with their blowguns or line of sight, are going to take the dodge action, and that'll be these three back here. That brings us to Gigil.
All right. I was tasked with distract them towards the trees. So Gigil is going to head towards the large tree.
Mm-hmm.
So by moving and activating the Rusted Star to expeditious retreat, I'm going to actually expeditiously charge past them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To the other side of the large tree.
Gotcha.
Therefore, giving them the idea that they are being flanked, and also that I am somewhat isolated and easily outnumbered.
Cool.
So I have created bait behind the large tree. I'm hopefully using it as a bit of cover, and then I'm going to take the dodge action.
Very nice.
And see how it goes.
Gigil right. Tank.
Combat peekaboo engaged. That brings us to Lit a Bug.
Is only the one tent on fire?
Correct.
Fantastic. Lita crouches low to the ground and races through the grass, zigging and zagging before pressing herself against the edge of this cage. She's out of sight from all of the raiders, but she does see a tent, and she's going to firebolt it.
Nice. Just give me damage on that there tent. See how well you burn it. First one got pretty fucking burned.
Two. No. Both points.
Well, where there's a spark, there's a fire. It's starting. Hard to notice from a distance, but the smoke is rising. Would you like to do anything else?
I'll use my bonus action to move Iris and separate, but that's it for now.
All right. As the great wheel turns, the initiative returns to foe Kithkin.
All this, Captain. I can take down a big guy if you like.
Big guy is all well and good, but Gigil put them in a perfect opportunity. Bring the tree down on him.
I don't know how to do that.
All right, fair. If you can't, then keep him there until we can.
Foe is going to move Queens north until he's at the corner of the cage. From the embers, fireflies are going to rise up and kind of cloud around his head and imbue him with a Hexblade's Curse using my bonus action. And then I'm going to use my Eldritch Blast, which is empowered by my new invocation, Burning Hex, which deals my charisma damage in fire. And because he is cursed, I get all them fat bonies.
Who you blasting?
The fattest largeman.
Okay.
I got an 18 instead of a 19, and that bums me out. But with a nice fat plus 5 on it, should do plenty of hit.
That does hit his armor class.
Beauteous. Fantangulous. D10?
Yes.
That is a 9 on the die, plus Ooh. My charisma, plus my proficiency. So that's 15 damage on him. And then every turn, if I want, I can activate my bonus action to deal that fire damage again.
He's more on fire than before.
Hey! It's not like water where you can get wetter.
I thought you were going to say, like, yes, fire is not like water. That's true.
Actually,
thank you, Zach.
And in fact, that's not true. You can be more on fire. I don't know why my brain was like, you can't be more on fire. You're either on fire or not.
No. In fact, water and fire are the exact same thing.
I would say they work exactly the same.
Everything changed when the idiots attacked. Daralu.
Running over next to where Foe is and busting out the Horn of Orgrier, I'm going to blast out one more triumphant war cry from it, one more thundering peal from the horn. And as I do, I'm going to try to bring the fear of a sudden raid down onto three of the poachers. It'll be this one standing closest to the tree, this one in a line from that one, and that one right there, and cast Bane on them.
Cast Bane. Very cool.
Will they all make me a charisma saving throw?
Yes, absolutely. They have a fun ability. It's just fun. It's not even bad. They are within 30 feet of Big Bradley, and they're terrified of him. So rather than using their will bonus, they get to use his intimidate bonus on saving throws against foes.
That is a rad ability, and I'm definitely stealing that.
Yeah. As he yells at them to either get out of the way, pay attention, or stay focused, and they listen out of fear. So for those three, that's two definite failures and a 14, which I believe makes it.
14 does make it.
Okay. Yep. So the very middle one makes his save, but the other two are completely affected.
Sick.
I am then going to turn to Gigil, try to get his attention, look at the tree, and make a chopping motion with my hand. I don't know how he's going to do it, but you know what? I believe in him.
He turns his hand to an axe, gets it ready, and then slams it in, and it just goes...
In fact, I believe in him so much, I'm giving him bardic inspiration. And then with my remaining 15 feet of movement, I'm going to fall back to the corner because I am an archer and not a melee combatant.
Okay.
And my turn is over.
Gigil's just going to respond with a very confident and peaceful yes.
Easy. Just punch a tree down. It's fucking Minecraft, baby.
Exactly.
It's just the biggest tree in the, you know, the acre. But yeah.
Hortense.
You're so much cooler than a tree, though.
Are all of the tents on fire?
Two.
Except the Hortense.
Good. Those ones are the ones that are important to me.
The one by the ship is not on fire.
Oh, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Maybe that shouldn't be on fire. It's fine.
It's fine.
It is the closest to the pile of lumber and ship
ships.
Okay, Hortense will move Queens East up towards the barely on fire tent and the corner of the...
The diarrhea box.
The diarrhea.
Oh, no.
I'm going to loose this diarrhea all over this battlefield. Oh,
so release the diarrhea. Is your intent to do a little sneaky sneak as you go up?
Yeah, let's like dash into a hide, or not dash, that's a real term, but like, you know, into a hiding position. Yeah.
Sure. That's what I think when I hear that noise.
You definitely avoided going with a real term.
So, for your cunning action, let me see a stealth check versus Big Bradley's perception check.
Keeping in mind his face is on fire.
That's fair. I am going to give him disadvantage.
That time it was a one.
But no. It's hard to hide hippo.
So, unfortunately, this is not a sneak attack, but you still have your normal attack against
him. Okay. Regular old attack. Here it goes.
I love the idea that he walks out of this place, eyes stinging with smoke, face on fire. He gets shot with a thing and he goes, is that a fucking hippo?
18 to hit.
Yes.
Oh, good. Did I say what I was shooting with?
You said short bow.
Short bow. Good.
I specifically asked if you wanted to use the blunderbussy.
So, yes, with the short bow, that was an 18. And then we're doing damage.
Yes.
Which is regular damage.
Yes.
Which is this.
D6 plus your dex.
That's a total of 10.
Excellent. That's still a very clean and good shot right into Big Bradley's big nipple. The arrow blooms like the flowers of war.
Nice.
They're proportional. Oh, my big nipple. Big Bradley's having a bad wake up.
I like that he's got mismatched nipple.
He's got one teeny tiny one and one the size of a fucking dinner saucer.
It's my dominant nipple.
Not his supplicant nipple.
You know, when you're ambi-nippled, it's actually a disorder.
I'm a nip switch.
Oh, God. Nintendo Nip Switch.
The sons of Nip Switch. Oh, fuck. I didn't plan for this. I don't think we're going to get that tree down.
It's all right. It was a nice dream.
I love that you gave an order to cut the tree down with absolutely no idea of how that was supposed to happen.
No, it's fine. I got it.
You've got weird magic, and he's made of mystic jello. I don't know what you can do.
It's very correct.
Just so everybody understands, I have zero area effect. I am all disadvantages and target hit.
But if you had a magical friend, wouldn't you kind of just assume that they could do basic things with their magic?
You can take a tree down, right?
Yeah, that seems easy. Like, a guy can do that with an axe.
I'm a curse guy.
You took a woodcutter's curse.
True, I did.
No, we can still bring that tree down. You just need to get out of the way.
I mean, I'm fucking staring down the barrel of Bad Bradley here. This is not good.
So two of the poachers are going to run around the tree, kind of flanking in a pincer maneuver on each side of Gigil, coming in with their hook blades. You have the dodge action from your last turn.
Yes.
First one is a 19.
Oh, okay. Hits.
Second one is a natural 20 and a 1.
I don't know which one, but one of those has Bane on it.
Correct. It is the gray one. So that's a 1 minus Bane. He definitely drops his hook blade. It gets stuck in the tree, and you'll have to use a move action to get it out.
Ooh. It's helping that tree come down easy.
Yeah, technically. not what I was going for, but you're not wrong. These two run forward. One of them is going to try to bury a big blade into Hortense's impressive haunches. That is a 21 to hit.
Nah, that's definitely it.
For 7 damage. And the other one is going to take a blowgun dart at Lita. That's a hit. Boy, their dice are rolling good, if nothing else. 2 points of damage and a con save. DC 8.
That was a 20-something on the roll, wasn't it?
It was a 22.
Okay. 19.
Again, you avoid the poison of the sleepy time bad juice. Two of the poachers coming around the cage. The first one is going to take a hook blade at foe. The other one taking a blowgun dart at Darlu. That's a miss against foe with a 14. And a blowgun coming in at Daru with another miss.
Ooh.
So those two kind of bump into each other, Three Stooges style, as they try to round the corner too quickly. And then Big Bradley is going to pull out a big boy javelin and throw it at one of your big boy faces.
Uh-oh.
Daru.
Uh-oh.
Natural 20.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck.
Can I go ahead and use my reaction to Silvery Barbs this fuckist?
Bring Barbara in here.
So that's a reroll, and then you give advantage to one of your allies? Is
exactly.
That accurate?
Exactly. I'm going to go ahead and force him to reroll, and I'm going to give advantage to Gidgel.
Okay.
Oh.
That's still a hit, but it is not a crit. You take 6 points of piercing damage.
Ow.
And Gidgel, you have advantage on your next d20 roll.
Nice. Be glad he didn't hit me, because I was going to use Hellish Rebuke.
Hey!
And at the end of the enemy's turn, you wanted to use your skirmisher ability?
Yeah, yeah. So to move half speeds, 15 feet away. That was it.
You quickly back away faster than any hippo moving backwards in nature has ever moved.
When Big Bradley's spiky loblog comes crashing into me,
mm-hmm.
I am going to, with a shout, turn my blood to fire and use a second level Hellish Rebuke.
Sick.
Dude, you need to get your fucking blood pressure checked out.
Who, me?
Guys are a fucking blood shooting 60 feet.
It comes with the territory.
All right, dex save from
correct.
BB.
Correct.
One on the die.
That's what I like to fucking hear. That is 3d10 fire damage coming to this already on fire man.
He's been very continually inflamed.
It's a flamey day.
That is a good roll. That's a solid 20 fire damage
to him. Wow. Oh, shit.
10-7-3. Let's fucking go.
Hot damn. Big Bradley is showing some serious damage despite his bigness. You can see bone starting to show through some of the burn marks on his skin. It's nasty. Yeah, he's just a big scorched boy at this point. That's it for all of the raiders. The one other poacher who is aboard the small hovering ship begins stringing a massive longbow and pulls a wicked arrow from his back.
Right, I just need you to sign here. Right, and they here. And initial here. Fantastic. And that's the bow in a package. Your island is now a registered entity of Not Out Space. This legal distinction will open you up to all sorts of trade options and a transport registry, and of course our military protection in matters of Aetherotyne law. This is exciting. I've never registered an Odyssey landmass as an actual North Out island. We're making history here.
Quite.
Guess that's what they get for letting it drift too far from home.
Seems reasonable to me.
Right on the border though, innit? Just a few leagues further away and this wouldn't be legal.
Well, you have my sincerest gratitude. You have been most informative and accommodating to me in these matters.
Oh, I only wish I could have been more accommodating. Sorry again about a chair breaking. Guess it's not suitable for, GIF.
Think nothing of it. I prefer standing.
According to these documents I got, looks like your people are rich in produce, wood, clean water, farm meat. I gotta tell you, this is very welcome in a highly demanded category of trade. You're looking to make a great deal of money.
Yes, yes. You Noddites love to get your hands on some fresh greenery. I suppose I should say we Noddites.
Yeah, but honestly though, even though this is a brand new land registration, it was easy. You paid all your fees up front, and all the documents we asked for. Doesn't hurt that your public relations record is spotless either.
We do try to keep a clean house. How long will it take for the new trade routes to be established? We'd like to get the ball rolling as soon as possible. We're quite fond of your Noddite tech, and the sooner we can commission some units, the faster our artisans can start duplicating the process.
Well, I don't really handle mercantile schedules. If I had to guess, 90 days.
Anything we can do to move that up?
Well, I can certainly ask. But I gotta tell you, the ever-changing safe routes can be a real headache.
Wonderful. You do that. I'm very satisfied with the terms we've arranged here today. You do a credit to your peoples.
Now, thank you, Mr. Huxtable.
Lord.
Ah, of course. Apologies, my lord. Well, now you're on the map. Anything else I can do before I get you back to the embassy?
Yes. One last thing.
Of course, my lord. What would that be?
Take us off the map.
Excuse me?
You share your Aethertine maps with Cain and Nidrosil, not to mention the League and whatever ship can get their hands on it. Keep the trade routes open. Keep us under your military protection. You know where we are, but keep us off the map.
I don't think it works like that.
You seem like a smart fellow. I'm sure you'll figure something out.
And what a sport you turned out to be, my lord.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, all you cuties. We're recording more episodes later this morning, so I'll keep it short and sweet. We hope you're enjoying this chapter, and we couldn't be happier that Sam came back to play with us again. Remember to leave a review, check out the Patreon, and tell your friends about the LUQ if you haven't yet. And if you want to talk to more people who love the show, join the Discord. The folks there make the show worth making, and you could be one of them. But that's enough out of me. Let's get you back to the action.
Some people have coffee, some people have energy drinks, but some of us, the refined ones anyway, drink tea. And there's no tea more refreshing and rejuvenating than iced tea that's been steeped in the blazing desert sun, in a terracotta urn filled with shedded snake skin and precious gemstones. When the sun is high and the hissing thirst strangles you, reach for a tall glass of Yon Tea. Selling snake oil's easy when it tastes this good.
Yon Tea contains 60% of less than half a lethal dose of snake venom, as well as 10% corn syrup. As the battle with the Grimrock poachers rises to a crescendo, that brings us to Gidgel, behind his tree.
First thing, I'm going to use my expeditious retreat to disengage.
Okay.
Second thing, I'm going to run up this tree.
I'm listening.
My intention is to get to where the trunk meets the crown or the beginning of the canopy and activate my astral arms, which does an AoE.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to bring the whole tree down, I would like to bring the branches down upon everybody who is congregated around the tree.
Oh my God.
Oh, I see it.
That is genius.
That was so good.
Oh my God.
So give me an athletics check to scamper up the tree as quickly as you can go.
I stone cold thought you were about to dab. You like raised your arm and I'm like, resist it, resist the urge.
Don't give it in.
The dab of a thousand arms.
The dab of a thousand arms.
I would like to activate my astral dab.
A flurry of dabs.
Yeah, all right. Thanks to the silvery barbs from Foe, I have advantage.
That's true.
And I'm trained. That's good. Okay. That is going to be a 21.
That is higher than the DC my brain made up when I asked for it. So using your full speed of 30 feet plus, you can get to the top of the tree. And then as your bonus action, trigger your astral arms.
Yes.
They call falling branches like this a Widowmaker. That is nothing to fuck around with.
We're in Overwatch, baby.
So roll me your force damage.
That is going to be 5 force damage in a 10-foot area.
Okay.
If you like, you could add Bardic Inspiration to that damage. Ooh. Because I have magical inspiration.
I like that.
Does he need to?
The higher the damage is, the more branches will fall on them. And I have a simple mechanic in my head for how that'll work. Will you need to roll pretty good to change it? Yes, but would it be worth it if you do? Probably.
All right. That is going to be 9 force damage instead.
Okay. I'm making some dex saves for the creatures at the bottom of the tree. Looks like I've got 1, 2, 3 regular boys, 2 of which are baned.
Yes, they are. It's all coming together.
So juicy.
There was no planning.
This was all part of the plan.
Those two rolled the exact same numbers on the D20 and the D4 for a total of 6 each.
Sick.
The other one gets also a 6 without a D minus a D4. He just rolled low. And Big Bradley does pretty good. Not bad for a big guy. Yeah, so let's see this damage. Please roll me a D6.
2. God damn it.
There is a massive downpour of old, rotted, dead jungle branches, vines, a couple of very confused snakes. And once again, just this wave of yellow tropical birds flies into the distance as their perch has been disrupted. You hear the sounds of a chorus of ouchies from down below as the trees pelt and bombard these individuals. Very good.
So that's my movement.
That's my movement.
My bonus action.
And then?
And then. And so I'm perched up there.
Yeah.
Now, I assume that the little bit of damage took down some of the weaker branches and made some of the more secure branches a little weaker. So I would like to find a big bow over Big Bradley and smack that with my section staff in an attempt to drop more foliage onto this man.
Right onto BB?
Yes.
Okay.
Old BB.
So why don't you roll me the damage of your staff and your one unarmed strike, and based on that total, we'll see how many branches land on Big Bradley, or the volume thereof.
That is 13 points of damage.
Okay.
I thought you were just going to do a fucking drop attack on the asshole.
I thought about it.
The people's elbow.
Punching and chopping, a large branch snaps free and lands square on Big Bradley's head, splitting into three pieces, and a cartoonish bump rises from his broken helmet. Whoop. It's good damage. And it looked rad as fuck. That brings us to Littabug.
So this cage,
mm-hmm.
is it made of bars?
Yes.
How far apart are the bars?
About half a foot.
Am I small enough to try to slip through them?
Better question. Do you have anything greasy?
Goblin skin?
You could attempt an acrobatics to squeeze through this space. You do have, you know, you're a wee, but you got a pumpkin.
Maybe some diarrhea guano?
No, I mean, I have grease, you sickos.
I mean, you recently had a saxophone full of hot grease.
I did.
The project was a failure, but the grease was solid.
It didn't work out. Yeah, I'm going to try to squeeze in here.
Okay.
16.
That seems good to me. That seems like a good squeeze in.
A humble squeeze in.
What's your next step?
Yeah, so as she just kind of turns around, gives a wink to her new gift friend, and squeezes backwards between these bars.
Pulling a full-on Homer Simpson. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use my bonus action to hide using my goblin ability, Nimble Escape.
Okay.
And then I'm going to creep between these diarrheas and go find the door.
Okay. You are surrounded in diarrheas. Go ahead and roll me your stealth check for your hide.
I just hope you don't take a Chloe cannon right to the face.
5 to hide.
You realize that they're not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with them. And they are not unaware of your presence. You can absolutely make it to the door, but Daddy Rhea is going to try to stomp on your goblin face because it is a very aggressive bird.
That makes sense.
Stat blocks for a diarrhea.
They call me diarrhea.
That's a
daddy.
26 to hit.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Fucking Lord.
Hey, min damage. You take 6 bludgeoning as a huge prehistoric foot that has evolved for millions of years just to be here today to step on your face.
Nobody knows where it's coming from, but you hear a very distinct.
And that's where the low stealth check came from.
The good news is the poachers probably don't know that there's a goblin in the cage, but they do know that something fucking crazy is going on inside the diarrhea box.
Inside the diarrhea box, this tree is falling apart. Their houses are on fire.
So that was a move and a bonus action. You still have an action.
Oh.
Do you want to try to jimmy the lock?
Yeah, I'm going to lockpick this lock.
Okay. Are you using lockpicks or just like some kind of tinkering torch?
Hopefully, out of gratitude, they stop kicking you.
One can hope.
I thought you were just going to thunder wave it open.
Yeah, I am proficient in thieves' tools, and so I'm going to use those.
Do it.
Mm. It's the lock pecking.
Yes.
That's a 4 on the die.
Ooh.
So it's at least 6, depending on what you want to add to that, but it's not looking good.
You fail to open the lock. If you tell the story again, it'll be because you're getting kicked by a dinosaur. But even without that, you probably wouldn't have quite made it. That brings us to Foe Kithkin.
As the men in front of me come around the corner, one of them swings at me and I just kind of effortlessly parry it out of the way. When the sudden cracking and explosions come from behind and above, they turn and they look to the skies, at which point I place my hands gently on their shoulders and say, "What do you think of the stars?" Mm-hmm. And a moonbeam comes crashing down into their upraised faces.
Beautiful. At the beginning of their turn, they're just immediately going to have to roll against some incoming radiant damage.
Back away, Captain. I'll take them. And he stands his ground, readying for the next blow.
Okay. Darlu. You see the Rhea cage explode to life as feathers are flying and squawking is being squawked.
Plan's really coming together. Foe, if you stand there, you're not standing alone. I'm going to give my last bardic inspiration to Foe. And then Rushing back behind Hortense and seeing the dude draw the big bow on top of the boat over here, I am going to shoot at him before he can shoot at any of us. With my longbow, my own small, sad longbow, I'm going to get his. 13 total?
That does hit that individual. Not one of the armored ones he was behind on the boat.
Dork. That's going to be 8 damage total to him.
God, yeah, you almost just one-shot that guy. He, like, takes a knee, bleeds out on the deck.
Don't do it, lad. It's a bad idea. And that's my turn.
All right, Hortense.
Good shot, Durlu. I'll finish him off. And she charges in that direction. We'll try not to get, you know, too close to anybody.
You are out of the range of their melee attacks. And if you want to double move
Let's
as a rogue,
double.
You can.
Yeah.
That's a safe spot. Save for the fire.
It's nice and
it's
toasty.
Crackly.
A good archer volley.
Wait, were you saying something about me being a rogue? Do I still have action after that?
Yeah, you can still take a shot. Absolutely.
Whoa. Yeah. Crazy.
You just get to double move as one of your options for cunning action.
I saw that earlier.
It's so good.
Rogues are cool.
And disengaging.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You've got a free-for-all bonus action movement option every turn.
The hippo can run 45 miles an hour.
It's true. They're fucking fast.
Yeah, IRL.
You want to pop that shot at the last guy?
Yeah. So after reaching her point as far as she could run, she says, taking the blunderbuss off her shoulder, well, I guess we're not sneaking anymore. And fires at him.
You bust out the blambus?
The blambus, the boomer.
Roll to blamb.
I got boom lust. That's a 3 on the die.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's rough.
So this ship is anchored to the very, like, lip of the end of this island. So there's just a booming cascade that echoes out into the void as a small chunk of the ship just gets kind of shot off, missing the guy, unfortunately, but scaring all of the shit out of his pants.
Sorry, scaring all the shit.
They're clean again.
It's not what the poop deck's for.
I dash it all.
Get him, Granny.
The badman. Top of their turn, these two are going to roll dex saves. Your DC's 14?
Constitution.
Oh, Constitution. That's a different number. They're better at dex than Touche. So that is a 13 and a 6.
That is 2 failures. No, that is a failure and a success.
Okay, well, give me 2d10.
Radiant. I can do that.
That is an 8 and a 9 on the die.
Ooh,
for a 17 out of 20.
So you completely just vaporize Blue with this radiant moonbeam, and the armor is scorched off of the one with the white base. He is on death's door immediately.
Is it worth it?
He says to him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Run now and I won't kill you.
Ow.
This guy's going to run up and try to do some business on Darlu.
Bring it on.
This guy's going to run up and see what the fuck's happening in this diarrhea box.
I remember I have to stop saying bring it on. I regret saying that immediately.
16?
16 hits.
3 slashing damage from
Ow.
His axe.
Stop it.
Well, those are some bad rolls. Yellow and orange, Angelo, for me, if you would mind, get knocked prone as they try to move from this pile of branches on their head. The other one manages to make it okay. And Big Bradley steps up, not being a fan of being on fire this much.
And instead takes 2d10 damage.
Yeah.
Well, I guess con save.
He does not know the properties of the moonbeam.
Gets that con save.
Yep.
With a 15 on the dice for damage.
That's very good.
I'm rolling hot business.
Hot ruddered bum.
So like the leathery helmet covering his face, part of it just gets scorched off. And you see like a weirdly attractive big guy inside.
It was Big Bradley Cooper the whole time.
Not what I meant, but yeah, he gets scorched horribly.
A star.
He's going to try to use his hooked axe at you. Fingers crossed.
It scans.
16.
That is not a hit. I got my shield.
Yeah.
And with that, the other one who is also on death's door is just going to take his little swing at you out of desperation. Natural 20.
Oh.
10 slashing from the axe.
I'm going to go ahead and use silvery barbs and make him re-roll that and okay. Give the bonus to Darlu.
Me.
I'm always chill with that. So that is a 23, but not a critical hit.
Jesus Christ. This guy hits hard.
So 4 points of slashing instead of the 10.
I'll take 4 instead of 10.
And that last one is going to try to climb the tree, but he's not as good as Gidgel. Yeah, he's making slow progress. He's about a third of the way up. And that brings us to, what does G stand for?
G? Gidgel?
Gidgel. For some reason, I just said Gidgel, and so, of course.
G stands for German cuisine.
Schweinfleisch.
And Selbstschmelze.
Braunschweiger. Head cheese.
So thanks to my astral arms, I can make attacks at 10 feet. Mm-hmm. So if possible, I would like to climb down the tree just a little bit, you know. And by climb down, I mean almost Tarzan swing around it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, my astral arms are going to do a drive-by, like stomping.
A bonking to
a
all
bonking.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a DC 16 acrobatics check to be able to get all three of them with your Tarzanian antics.
I see.
I'm so excited for your violent pole dance, Jello Man.
It's a 13.
Okay. I'll let you get two of them.
Okay.
One of them has to be the climbing dude, though, because he's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. First attack is going to be 20 total.
That hits climber.
And do I have advantage to attack one of the prone people?
Yes.
19 to hit.
Both get hit.
Woo. That is going to be 5 points of damage and 6 points of damage in order. Right.
That combined with the branch barrage they took is enough to knock out two of them. So both Yellow and Climber have been removed from the fight. Anything else? You want to just kind of land safely if you can?
Remain swinging? I think landing safely is the move.
Oh, sugar, we're going down.
Yeah.
If you can give me just a dex save to see how well you land.
That's going to be a 7.
I'm going to say you end prone at the base. You pulled off a pretty fucking awesome maneuver and found the perfect vine, but you do just going to land with a plomp.
All right. Plomp.
Beautiful. Lida, you are knee deep in diarrhea.
I am going to try to pick this lock once more.
Please do.
Release the stinky bird.
Dirty 20.
The only kind of 20 you can get in this cage.
Pulling some tiny mechanisms out of your gauntlet and a few sparks fly as this heavy padlock slams to the ground and the sound of swings up as all of the poachers turn their heads in fear. As an explosion of feathers comes tearing out of the cage and the diarrhea all move and attack the nearest creature.
I look up and see the diarrhea coming down hard on this poor, poor man who decided not to run when he had a chance. And as the slash that he opens on my flesh does not bleed and instead closes because I have fiendish vigor, and he just hit my temporary hit points, I just say,
I'm sorry, Sam. It could have been different.
That's a hit from the Rhea. That guy's dead. Daddy Rhea leaps into the air and comes down with both talons stabbing into this guy's throat and just kind of pulling him in half down the middle with its weight. Letting out a...
Give him the bird!
Foe looks up at Big Bradley, who is on fire and horribly injured, and he says,
your move, slugger. It's a bad day for Big Bradley!
Oh, no.
God, I love Big Bradley and his mismatched nipples.
Mama Rhea's gonna come down on this guy who looked in the cage.
The Mama Rhea. Here I go again.
Mama Rhea unfortunately misses.
Oh.
But
bye
then
bye.
Baby Rhea gets to move far enough to trigger the pounce attack.
Hell yeah.
Get him.
That's it. Oh, he has advantage because he's prone. And then the pounce... You see this little baby just leap and clear a solid 10 feet of air. And as it lands on this thing, just pecking and kicking like it's digging for worms in the dirt, chunks of person just go flying, pieces of armor, a helmet with a head still in it goes rolling away. Just pecking it to pieces.
I also definitely heard pesos of armor.
You don't know where they bought this armor.
Do you have any idea how many pesos this chest plate cost me? 100. And that's not a lot.
And then with my bonus action, Iris is going to give a little zappy to the raider that's harassing Daralu.
Okay.
24 to hit.
Yes.
I love how after all of this like dramatic, exciting shit, you're just like, and then I tase him.
3 force damage.
Hell yeah.
Is that...
I mean, for their pool of hit points, that's a solid blow.
Now I am done.
Funt.
Funt.
Faux Kifkin.
He's already engulfed in the moonbeam, and he's gonna be that way for a minute. How many boys we got?
There's one on Daru and one on the other side of the cage and one on the boat.
How's this guy looking?
Fucking bad.
Fucking bad, huh?
Daddy Twister.
Well, when I'm having a bad night, I look to the skies. Take it in, son.
I'm going to disengage and turn around, pulling a cigarette out. And as I light it, the charisma damage of fire ignites and continues to burn his flesh.
Before his turn even comes to feel the wrath of the moonbeam again, the three fire damages enough to finish off Big Bradley.
Doesn't look at his explosions.
As he slams to his knees, looking up at the sky, trying to see what the fuck you were talking about. And just seeing clouds and yellow birds, smoke rising from his eye sockets and his mouth, he slumps to the ground with a mighty foomph.
Funt. The mighty funt.
Only to be immediately bepecked upon by a prehistoric mega bird.
As I'm walking towards Darlu, I just like excitedly go, was it cool? Did it work? Is he dead?
Real slick.
Darlu.
Remembering the new thing he got, he reaches onto his belt and pulls out his own weird moon dagger and says, right, night time, and draws his hand across the blade, enchanting it with silvery light and turning the dagger into a scimitar and then cutting the man in front of him.
The scimitar.
The scimitar.
The milkiest blade in all the land.
I rolled a one. I don't know how to use this new sword.
You have advantage because I gave you that shit from my book.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
A crit. Oh.
That's so silly. What a silly thing that happened.
Oh, my God. Silvery barbs coming through in the clutch.
I kind of picture Darlu. Draws his hand across it. Tries to come back to use the blade. And he's like, how the fuck does this work? Turns to face foe for some instructions, pulling it back and then stabbing the man in the head and the cheek for 13 damage.
Jesus.
Oh, you remove his face. It just slides off of him like a deli slicer bologna hog.
Was it cool? Huh?
With his mouth open, like he's about to ask foe something, Darlu Nurananavahan says, oh, never mind. My turn's over.
Hortense.
Was that cool?
Would you like to steady blast this amigo?
Yeah, I do. I want to do that.
Okay.
Okay. I got a total of 20.
That hits his AC for sure.
Ooh. All right. Excellent.
So how much does this grandma gun do?
The initial shot, the 12 I got a 12 on, so fuck, that's fun. Yeah. But the sixes didn't do so great. It's a total.
I swear he's dead.
It's many damages, and also after the initial blast, with the power of the astral spark, which adds force damage, you see the ghostly form of an actual straight-up hippo charge the man and hit him with 2 force damage. Ah!
Beautiful. It knocks his ass right off the ship.
Sickening crunch.
Get off my grandmother's island. Mm. And then she pulls out a whistle and blows into it. The sound is high and creening, and it reminds you a bit of a sound you may have heard earlier on this island, perhaps some kind of bird.
The sound of a shrill whistle echoes through the air, suddenly followed by an explosion of yellow feathers, as that same stupid flock of tropical birds seems to burst onto the scene, flapping and squawking loudly, flooding your senses and doing everything short of pecking and scratching you. The world is lemon feather chaos. And then, as soon as they come, they disappear. The groaning of fallen bodies and splashes of red blood surround you as the flock ascends off into the distance. And getting your bearings, you realize something is off. Hortense is missing. You scan the area desperately trying to locate where she went, and then a blast of energy and a roar of a small engine nearly knocks you on your ass. The small aether ship is lifting into the air, hovering some 30 feet up. One lone figure aboard. The broad silhouette of Hortense decoupling the anchor and walking to the wheel against the midday sun. She leans over the edge and shouts down to you.
Kisses, darlings. No hard feelings. I just can't wait another moment on this island. Farewell. Goodbye.
But that was fucking cool.
Son of a bitch!
Later, that's a good flapper.
Hate to say it, son. I vote for her.
I don't blame you.
You stand there gobsmacked, surrounded by violence, and at a loss of what just happened. Did you just get flim-flammed by a talking hippo? You realize your situation hasn't changed that much at all. While there is surely some wealth to harvest from the remnants of this encampment, and a few repair parts to be utilized for your own vessel, the payday that you had hoped for has just been decimated right before you. It just goes to show, you really never know who you can trust in this shattered world.
The Landrox's rash cleared two passes ago. I've reseeded the marsh with some of the cultivars that were struck with boil wilt last season. I've even made bloody topiaries by the base camp. This island is like home to me, but I've been yearning to set sail for stranger tides. I was promised a dropship with soldiers and supplies to clear out the filthy poachers, but it never came. It began to look like Grandmother and I would have to handle it all on our own. Luckily, while poacher hunting, I came upon a delightful mob of hapless maroons. There were the four that I met, and one who'd been left behind injured. There was Foe, the polite one who looked like he was cobbled together out of butcher scraps, a proper gentleman, calming that poor loon who stumbled into our camp. Then, little Bug, a gremlin tinkerer. She is so handy with the tools, yet can't seem to tighten the loose screw in her own head. How poetic. Gugel was wise and reserved like my great-uncle, but like my uncle, he had no business on a hoverboard. He'll be carrying rock grit in his intimate places till the end of his days. Oh, and how can I forget? The other one. Could have been Darling? He had musicality to his voice. It was a delight to listen to. I was hoping to get him in his cups and ask for a song, but I never had the chance. Maybe I'll meet them again. Well, maybe better if I don't. Good-natured as they seemed, I may not be well met after so bluntly abusing their credulous simplicity.
Sick.
I was not banking on that shit. I was seriously going to be like, we should give her the ship.
Aww.
That was literally going to...
That's not roguey enough.
Okay. That combat went some places, but I'd like to go on record and say my plan worked.
Your plan worked.
Everything I said to do happened, and it went great.
I did my job.
You did
what you asked, even though technically I'm a tank.
Fair. You did your job, and Angelo, the ways you did your job was very funny.
I would say Dana did Angelo's job, I did Dana's job, and Angelo did a whole extra job.
Everything was done.
Good job.
God, that was amazing. Holy shit.
Any favy momos other than everyone doing really crazy fun stuff during the fight?
Fucking Angelo's tree nonsense.
Yeah, I want to see that animated. Like, because trying to see it in my head, I was like, damn, yeah.
I agree. I think that was probably my favorite.
It's so fucking funny.
It's my new weapon.
It's so good.
Your internalization of space and what can be done is way better than... Whenever I play D&D, man, my brain just gets really bogged down in like my sheet, and I tend not to think as much about the random crap I can do in the environment.
Ah, it was really good.
Gorgeous. We got any titles?
Boy, more from this episode than the last.
This was
two.
A lot. We had a lot here.
But that's a long list.
Since I got a big old list, I'm going to let other people go first.
I've noticed that when I'm running, my list will be much shorter than usual because I'm distracted with many things.
Look, I don't have any titles, but really quick, I just like the idea of Sam's character just like holding this fucking blunderbuss and being like, you know, hippos kill more people every year than any other animal.
I am so sad I didn't think of that. That's awesome.
This is your first time back in years. I think you're good.
All right. Here we go. Sneaking our best. Diarrhea box. Emu music. Fire is not like water. Blunderbussy.
No.
Big Bradley's big nipple. Sleepy time bad juice. Drop foliage on this big man. Based on what Angelo did and massaged a little bit, the people's Jelbo.
Do not Brad Bigley into that good night.
Into that big nipple.
Into that big nip.
A good squeezing. Lock pecking. Lemon feather chaos and good flapper.
Okay, go back to the beginning and give me some of those again.
Okay, I'm just going to read it off. Sneaking our best. Diarrhea box. Emu music. Fire is not like water. Blunderbussy. Big Bradley's big nipple.
Okay, the two I wanted to hear again were diarrhea box and blunderbussy. What do you got?
Later on that one, though, there was, it was... Lemon chaos?
It was lemon feather chaos.
Is good. And also, emu music's pretty funny because it doesn't really spoil the bit, but it kind of lets you know what's going to happen. I don't know. I could go all over.
I don't know that it's going to end up in the episode, though. It was a mid-dialogue, totally. So I wasn't... I agree. But yeah, I think it was in the middle of dialogue. So
lock pecking is pretty good.
Lock pecking?
Just to kind of sum up a lot of stuff that happened in the fight.
That feels like a season one name. Just my vibes.
It's true.
I'm here for Big Bradley's big nipple.
Big Bradley's big nipple. Do you want Big Bradley's big nipple parentheses blunderbuss?
That is a dangerous amount of bees. The only other one I had was the Flowers of War.
Flowers of War is good.
I personally like Big Bradley's big nipple parentheses blunderbuss.
So, I mean, it's very funny. It's very confusing, too.
I feel like there's something super musical about Big Bradley's big nipple, even though I can't say it. It's very, I don't know, it feels like it's good very title. Good.
We're adding it to the list of vocal warm-ups.
Big Bradley's big nipple.
I think I'm in on that. Can you write that down for me? I'm writing right now. Fucking sucks.
Big Bradley's big nipple.
I think for some reason it harkens to when people used to refer to to New York as the Big Apple. And the big nipple. It's romantic.
Here we
it's
are.
That's
big,
incredible.
The big nipple.
The big nipple.
Mammals are weird.
With the amount of milk that comes out of that area, I think that's Wisconsin.
the cheese.
Dana, yeah. I got to hear... fucking Litterbug say, here we are, the big nipple, not someplace. It doesn't matter where, but at some point in this show, you just got to be like, the big nipple.
You got it.
Very good.
But anyway, let's go around the table real quick one more time at the end of this beautiful chapter and hear who everybody is. Starting with...
My name's Law. I am the dungeon master for this chapter and every other chapter of season 3. I am the creative director of Slapdash, and I also play Sir Troth the Woven, the Wilder Knight, when I'm not running.
Not featured in this episode.
I am Dana Ebert. I play Littabag, also called Bag, also called Bug, also called Lid, presumably, or Dab. I don't know. I'm a goblin armorer.
I'm Sam Frost. I am here again after a long time away, and I'm playing Hortense Pickerill, the GIF blunderbussy wielder.
My name is Max Hobbs. I play Daralu Naran and Avahan, the tiefling bard. You can find me at TPK Brewing, where I'm mostly running around and yelling a lot.
The way you said Avahan had this very like Avahan. white people blues cadence to it. It was very like Avahan.
I kind of had like a Primus sort of. Yeah.
Got to change all my songs now.
I'm Angelo Kalug. I play Gigil, who is a gelatinous dude, monk of astral landscaping.
Tree obliterator.
And I'm Zachary Golden, the technical director for Slapdash Studios. I want to thank Bree Golden, my wife, for doing the maps that we usually have, but didn't this time again. The same big, beautiful fold-out map.
Zach, who do you play?
Oh, I play Foe Kithkin. Oh, crap. I play Foe Kithkin. He's a lunar sorcerer hexblade. The lunar sorcerer has been retooled a little bit and is actually a psychic sorcerer, or also called an egomancer. That's me.
Still jesting the Berg.
Still jesting. Yeah, anyway, thank you to Bree Golden for being our map maker and making the beautiful character art that we've been doing on our website that you can see when you look at the episode and all that beautiful episode art. I want to thank Sam Hediger, the editor, for editing this whole damn chapter and this whole damn season and pretty much all of the last season. Thank you so much, Sam. Man, I usually have an outro gag, but...
I'm the outro gag.
Can we thank this Sam, too?
Thank you, Sam Frost.
Oh, that's why we were pointing at
thank
me.
Thank you,
Sam. Sorry, Sam. The gag.
Samantha Frost, you are a wonder and a delight. And
you are a wonder and a blunder and a bus.
Blunder!
Can somebody make that?
No, it really means a lot for us to have you here again. And I missed your energy.
Thank you.
You say the last line. Until next time.
Until next time, we wish you luck.